Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Important election if you are pro-life. This is the first time there are serious pro-life laws that will be repealed. If Kamala wins, you realize that if Kamala wins, the serious pro-life laws in Oklahoma, in Georgia, will be gone. And unfortunately, many of the pastors I talk to, they say, so what? Doesn't matter. So I say, what kind of point are you trying to make here? Do you actually want to protect the unborn? Or are you just trying to say that you're a better Christian than Donald Trump? Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, North Dakota will all be gone. The majority of American pastors are not speaking out at all on this election. They won't speak out against the trans mutilation of our kids. They won't speak out on the 320,000 kids being sex trafficked. They won't speak out on our open borders. They won't speak out about the wars that are happening. I thought it was a specific scripture. Blessed are the peacemakers. Most pastors couldn't care less about that.
Man, Charlie Kirk there saying, I'm glad he said it this way because it's kind of what I feel like I want to communicate, but it's a very concise way of saying it. If you're saying that you can't vote for Donald Trump because your Christian faith holds you back from it, it's kind of like saying that you're a better Christian than he is. In the 1225 segment, towards the end of the segment, probably around 1238 or so, we had the phone lines open and we had Paul call in, who was a pastor, and he went into that. I pushed him into it. He was like he was teetering on the edge of, you know, saying the pastor thing, and I just shoved him all the way into the I'm like, go be a pastor. I want to hear what you have to say, because this is a very top line headline right now. We talk about demographics. We hear all about black men and suburban white women. Those are the two demographics that if we saw some sort of shift one way or the other with those individuals, that we would notice it in potentially outcomes of elections across the country. We don't generally talk about evangelicals, Christians, Catholics, whatever, coming out to vote and showing up and being willing to cast their vote or being interested in sitting out. There are a lot of questions right now, and Scott Pressler also provided some commentary on this, and he's adding to this issue, saying, like, we can't be in a position right now where Christians are sitting out the vote.
30% viewers, 30% of Christians are not registered to vote. And I want to remind you, Georgia in 2020 was decided by 10,000 votes. Arizona, 20,000 votes. Wisconsin, 20,000 votes. Pennsylvania, 80,000 votes. I need all of you guys, please. The last day to register to vote in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is October 21st. So we have a couple Sundays in between now and the deadline. I need you to visit your place of worship this weekend, this Sunday, whenever you have worship, and you bring voter registration forms with you. And I don't care, respectfully, if you get the door shut in your face. This is a time of war, and I mean that peacefully. But if somebody says you can't register voters, public sidewalk is public property. You set up a vote your values voter registration table outside of mass or outside of your place of worship, and you make sure that we are engaging with every single evangelical going into this November. And furthermore, members of our Jewish community, I want to make it clear, we are also engaging in synagogues, and Kamala is not a friend to your religious beliefs, your ideals, and President Trump is going to make sure that we have global peace, and he's going to make sure that he's protecting your religious freedom. So please spend your...
Scott Presser, he was speaking on Real America's Voice there, talking about, what did he say, 30% of evangelical Christians are
30%.
Thinking about sitting out the vote?
What? Well, they're not even registered.
Well, in Illinois, you can register like when you walk in to vote. Wow. So we've had Paul call in just as a listener of the show, said it's the first time he's ever called into a show and talk about his emphasis. And he talked a lot about Amendment 3 in Missouri and how dangerous Amendment 3 is to the lives of the unborn. Got emotional about it. It was a very, very good, compelling phone call. And Andy called in after that, and we wanted to put him on the air. And then in the 1252 maybe is when he called in. If you want to go check the Andy Fry Show podcast or rewatch it on the Andy Fry YouTube channel, saying that, you know, he feels as though he has a conflict. His faith causes him to not feel as though he can cast that vote for Donald Trump. He said that he is a Republican, and he said that he could potentially see himself casting a vote for Kamala because in Missouri it wouldn't actually affect the outcome of the election, but he wouldn't be voting for Kamala. These are all things he said. You can go back and listen to his words, and he's very kind, and we're grateful that he called in. But he said that he would be willing to consider a Kamala vote to protest Donald Trump on the ticket. And this is what you hear Charlie Kirk talking about. This is what you hear Scott Presser talking about. Brad, you're a pastor. Is it a matter of faith when you go to the ballot box and you cast a vote for somebody? How do you parse faith, politics, culture, all of that in the circle that you choose to check?
Yeah, so my faith informs my politics. And so whenever I go into the ballot box, whenever I vote for a candidate, be it in the primary or in the general election, I look for the candidate because, like you said earlier, I'm not voting for a savior, I'm voting for a president. Yeah. I look for a candidate that most aligns with and would most defend my right to freely practice my faith. That's the two things that I kind of look at, because here's the thing. Even within my own church, I find that my theological beliefs don't always line up 100% with everybody that's in there, because we all, when we read the scriptures, we don't always get the same understanding. I mean, there's some big things that everybody agrees on, but there are little things on the outside. So you're never going to find
like
somebody.
Transubstantiation and consubstantiation.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Nerd alert.
So you have these arguments and you have these debates, but these are things that are to be debated vigorously, but not divided over. Whenever I look for somebody that is a pastor, like, I am under no, based on what I've heard Donald Trump say, I'm under no thought or delusion that I think that he is a Christian, because he said things that have led me to believe that he is not. He said, now this could have changed since he said that. I don't know the man's heart, and I'm open to being wrong in this, but he's said things like, I've never felt the need for forgiveness. And it's like, well, that's kind of a big deal. That's like A1, number one center, you know, in that. So you look at that and you say, well, how do I vote for this guy? And then you look at the other party, and I mean, she's up on the board right now, and I look at her and I see what she has said. I seen where she's changed her mind on things. I see what she hasn't changed her
mind
on.
What kind of Christian is Kamala Harris?
I don't know. I haven't seen much. Like, I think she went to a church over the weekend.
Are you kidding me?
And I don't know how, like, churches get away with that, because if that happened at my church, we would lose our 501c3. You're not supposed to be...
Brad, let me ask you this question. How do you know a good Christian?
How do I know a good Christian?
How do you know if someone's a good Christian?
I don't know that I know, but I can look at their humility. Usually is one of the things I look at. I'll look at humility, and then I look at their willingness to admit that I'm not got it all figured out. I'm not perfect. There's kindness and gentleness with it. Patience, love, joy, peace. self-control, stuff like that. But if I say, how do I know a good Christian? This is going to get more supernatural than natural. The Holy Spirit within me tells me that that person has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And I'll get a good idea based on the Holy Spirit telling me. And I can't explain that in a way that somebody that doesn't know the Holy Spirit, that doesn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in a way that they would understand.
As a pastor, Brad, do you think that people who don't have the Holy Spirit sense that they're missing something when they meet someone who does have it?
I think everybody does. Yeah, I think if you look at it, everybody, they have a God-shaped hole in their life and they're always trying to fill it with something. You can look at it and see what it is. It might be their job. It might be their lifestyle. It might be alcohol. It might be, you know, pornography. There's just all sorts of things that people try to fill that void with in their life. And they're usually really defensive about it. Like, hands up, walls go up. Don't touch that. That's mine.
I think it's incredibly dangerous for people. And, you know, let's define what this is. Because right now, the question, at least for this segment and for this show, is, I guess if you're boiling the question down, is can a Christian in good faith, and I mean the good faith in the capital F faith, can a Christian in good faith vote for Donald Trump? And the follow up question to that, if I'm asking myself that, if I'm reflecting myself on how to answer that question, the question I would ask myself is, well, why wouldn't I be able to vote for Donald Trump? Like, what would exclude Donald Trump from being able to earn my vote as a Christian person? I think that if you start looking at who you vote for, and let's say it's October 15th, and you're like, do I vote as a Christian? Do I vote to support this candidate or that candidate? If you start applying idealistic standards to the two choices, these are the last two people who have remained standing because of all of the campaigning and primaries that they've won. If you look at the last two people and then you start applying some superlative measuring stick to those individuals from your Christian faith, I just presume that you will never vote again for the president of the United States. There is no person who, from the Christian standpoint, I say this as a Christian, my interpretation of the Christian faith, there's no person who is going to reach that point who is going to be the shining star example of the human that God wants us to be. Because if that is the framework with which you're choosing your vote, you're forgetting, or I would be forgetting, that every single human to walk the face of the earth, to be born into existence on this planet, every single individual one of them has, according to Scripture, fallen short of the glory of God. So they're all fallible, broken people. And then, you know, that's the Scripture part of it. But then when you marry that with the reality of what a campaign is, Kamala Harris has raised $1 billion with a B, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
We are talking about billions of dollars that are being invested into exploiting every single thing about the opponent that can make them look bad in the eyes of the electorate. There's no morality that exists in that effort. Mm-mm. And it goes both ways. When you have billions of dollars being invested into proving that the other candidate is a sinner, you win every time. If to me, the question, as a Christian, if I'm going to vote for one of these candidates, as a Christian, if I'm looking for the person who is the good Christian, I will never find them. Because the only way a Christian is good is when they've been made good by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Come on.
That Ethan is in the studio.
Hallelujah.
Ethan is the woo girl for the Jesus stuff. But I mean, like, isn't that the point? Like, you can't mix those two things. They don't intersect, because if you are looking as a Christian, if we find out, you said 30% of Christian voters aren't registered?
Aren't even registered.
If Christians are out there as a voting bloc, and they're looking at the candidate who's going to earn their vote, you can't, as a good Christian, earn your vote, just like you can't, as a good Christian, earn your salvation. That is the difference here. So it's a wash. Like I said, if you as a Christian are not participating in the election, because you can't be associated with these sinners, look in the mirror, folks. There's really no more to it.
You know, whenever you say it like that, if you as a Christian look at Donald Trump and you say, I cannot be associated with that man.
He can't be associated with you.
I could add another phrase to the end of what you just said there, and it would kind of lighten up what you're seeing. I cannot be associated with that man. I'm too good for that. What I'm seeing and what I hear from that as a pastor is pride. Like, you are letting the pride of your Christianity, or you're taking pride in your Christian quote unquote goodness. I'm too good to do that.
Ooh, and that's the devil.
And when you do that, exactly, you're actually giving over to, that's a sinful attitude. Because if you're a Christian and you truly are a Christian, you realize that you're a Christian. What you realize is that one sin is enough to keep you from heaven, because perfect is the standard. One sin is enough to keep you from heaven, and the foot of the ground at the foot of the cross is level. There's no big eyes, there's no little U's. If you are a sinner, you are a sinner, and that, like, there's no difference between the liar and the murderer. And Jesus, whenever he was on the cross, he looked at the thief that was off to his left, and he said, just remember me, the thief said, just remember me. And Jesus offered that thief forgiveness. There is no way that you can, as a Christian, look at anybody else and say, I'm better than you, you're too sinful for me. You can't look at that, because you were too sinful for Jesus, and Jesus still forgave you.
There is no moral high ground to stand on this side of sinful brokenness to disassociate yourself politically from Donald Trump. But to wrap this up, because Joe Concha is going to be here in a minute, I don't know where he's going to take this conversation.
Buckle up.
Yeah, folks, it's going to go fast. There is no moral high ground in disassociating yourself from Donald Trump. But please also remember, there is no righteousness in voting for Donald Trump either. That cuts both ways. I really want to hear what Ethan has to say about it. So we'll talk about this a little bit more in the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to put a pin in that. I also teased this a little bit. Massive event in the Annie Fry Show, or Annie Fry Show family. No, not you guys. In the Annie Fry family. Something really big yesterday, and I'm going to talk about it. And like I said, it's not a big deal for anybody else, but for me, huge. We'll get to that at 2 o'clock, and we'll continue this conversation. There's a lot of feedback coming through on the Facebook page. We're going to talk to Joe Concha about the YouTube live chat poll that we have today. How will Donald Trump finish in this election? Is he going to lose in a landslide? Is he going to lose closely? Is he going to win closely? Or that possibility exists that he could win a landslide. Joe Concha on the Annie Fry Show next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. Remarkable fight. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant. Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened. But if they're all properly vetted, and that doesn't happen, and America is not having enough babies to keep our populations up, so we need immigrants that have been vetted to do work.
Oh, what you know, Joe?
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
I don't know what Bill Clinton was trying to do. Their little replacement theory thrown in there and saying that, gosh, if this administration would have just been vetting people at the border, Lake and Riley would still be alive. I need to know, Joe Concha, is Bill Clinton being paid by the Trump campaign or the Kamala Harris campaign?
I'd say that's the last time we'll be seeing old Bill on a campaign trail. I mean, you're right. Was he campaigning for Trump by saying that? Because he couldn't have said any better, quite frankly. And, you know, my book, Progressively Worse, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkeys, Bill Clinton plays a big role in that book. You know, he gets a full, long chapter. That's 95 Bill Clinton right there. That's right. Him talking again. Right. And then he had to change his positions because his wife runs for president, and he's just got to say what you got to say in order to get her elected. So, yeah, that was refreshing. And I think he you could tell he believed what he was saying. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the Kamala Harris campaign is like, what is going on? I mean, between this guy and Joe Biden basically undercutting us at every turn, like with DeSantis, where they went after DeSantis and said he was being selfish. And then Joe Biden's like, you know, he's really doing a great job. I gave him my personal number. He's doing so well. I was like, whoa. I mean, they're having their worst 10-day stretch that I could possibly imagine, and that's why you see the polls really now trending in Trump's direction.
Yeah, well-timed, for sure. We're speaking with Joe Concha, Fox News contributor, and his book, Progressively Worse. You need to read, because it's a very great explanation of where the Democratic Party was and is currently. Our poll for today that we're asking our listeners is, how will Donald Trump finish the election? It does look like polling is starting to favor Donald Trump across the board. How are you feeling 3 weeks out from the decision that America has to make on how Donald Trump is going to pull numbers come November 5th?
Andy, you archive all these interviews, right? You save the tapes?
You're darn right, okay. I do.
All right, good. All right, so you can play this back on November, whatever, like 6th, 7th, 8th, whenever this election's called. Probably, I think, early. You could probably play this back on November 6th. Donald Trump wins an electoral landslide.
Woo! An electoral landslide.
Yep. Yeah. Popular vote, maybe. Maybe not. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Al Gore won the popular vote. That got him a set of steak knives and a concession speech. Like, it doesn't matter. that would be an icing on the cake type of scenario. But I'm not saying this out of, like, it's called hope casting. I'm not injecting my feelings into this in any way, shape, or form. I think we may have talked about it, but let's underscore this again. If she's out there courting black voters right now, if the black candidate has to court black voters, that is a big problem. That should be tucked away, nice and safe, 85-90% support, run up the score in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, so you could win Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan. Right now, she should be courting independent voters, blue-collar, working-class Democrats, No, she's courting black voters. She's on with Charlemagne the God, who I used to work with today, for example. Hmm. You see all of her tweets, like, completely aimed at particularly black men, where she's having a severe problem with right now. And Donald Trump's getting something like, what, 20, 25% of the black vote, which is three times what you normally would see a Republican get. So that's one leg of the stool, right? That's a big problem for her. Second leg, Hispanic voters. Hillary Clinton won Hispanic voters by the tune of a 40-point margin over Donald Trump, and she still lost. Kamala Harris isn't even getting half the support that Hillary got. So where are the votes coming from exactly? Hispanics are not happy with the legal immigration at all. Those who are here legally don't like that because their social services are being cut. Their education is being cut. Their police is being cut in communities of color, and they don't like it one bit because they came through legally, and now they're seeing everybody cut the line and taking everything from them, including being taken care of by local governments. That's two. That's bad. Three, you saw that internal poll by the Teamsters, right, where Joe Biden had their support, and then you insert her in, and suddenly it goes the other direction by the tune of like 30 points. So if she can't get unions, if she can't get the Teamsters in Pennsylvania, where I think there's like 100,000 members, right, and you can say, well, but they're bad, you know, the top tier, you know, the people who run the Teamsters, their leadership supported her. It doesn't matter. Rank and file doesn't support her, and that's the bottom line, and why would they? That's one group. Steel workers, too, don't support Kamala Harris, I would imagine. United Auto Workers, EV mandates, bad. That's bad in Michigan as well. Restaurant workers, no tax on tips. That was Trump's idea, so they probably support him as well. So she doesn't have unions, and she doesn't have the black vote, and she doesn't have Hispanics. And throw in the fact, as the fourth leg of the stool, she is a horrible candidate. She's not good. Obama can sell it. She cannot sell it. If I got to hear about hopes, dreams, and aspirations one more time, I'm going to throw myself off the George Washington Bridge, which I'm about to go over right now.
Yeah.
So, I look at those four things, and then I see the trends just all going in his direction. I'll share this. I bought his stock yesterday, DJT. It's the media company.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say I'm turning a tidy profit already, right?
It has gone up.
Yeah, thank you. It's gone up 90% in the past month. So, savvy investors, Wall Street, they say, all right, if Trump wins, that stock's worth a lot more, and people are throwing money into it. You see the betting markets now. Trump has nearly a 16-point lead there, his chances to win. You see more and more polls where national poll she's tied, which means she's losing. National poll tied means electoral college landslide the other way.
If they're tied right now, and when I hear, I know every report I hear from CNN and they're talking about it being super close and tied, they don't seem very happy. But she might be leading by a half a point or a point. What does that mean when you say that?
If she wins by 2 points or less, the reason why Trump then wins almost every swing state is because you look at 2016 and you look at 2020. In 2016, you had Hillary Clinton up at this stage 7 or 8 points nationally, all right, nationally, popular vote. And Clinton won by, I think, 2.3, and she still lost the Electoral College. Then you have Joe Biden, who at this stage was up anywhere from 9 to 10 points. And then he only ends up winning by, what, 44,000 votes in Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia. So if you have to have a pretty massive lead in the popular vote in order to win those key swing states. If it's anywhere 3 or below, I'll call it, then Trump wins based on what we saw in 2016 and 2020. And again, in those swing states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, I just don't see working class voters connecting with her because she's an elitist who grew up in Montreal, not a middle class neighborhood, but a very, very nice residence in Montreal. And then she's San Francisco, California. And again, she's not making any compelling economic argument that says she's going to make this country better. And the economy, it's the economy stupid every time.
Joe Gonja is speaking with us right now, Fox News contributor, author of Progressively Worse. Go check that book out right now. Do you feel like Kamala Harris, I'm going to say Kamala Harris slash the Democrats because she's, what, 80-something days into this campaign. Do you feel like they completely fumbled the ball? Or was this team inferior from the beginning to put them in the position where they're looking like, as you called it, a potential landslide loss come November 5th?
Inferior from the beginning, because like we talked about, she's not a good candidate. She's not good outside of a teleprompter. She is a human Chernobyl. Also, you know, maybe, just maybe, if you held like a fair primary and folks got to see Joe Biden in a debate against a Democrat, maybe you could have replaced him faster, right? And not replaced him by installing someone like they did with Kamala Harris, but actually having, you know, a lightning kind of primary. And maybe you end up with like a Josh Shapiro as your nominee. Maybe it's a Polis, the governor out of California. Maybe it's Gretchen Whitmer, who's profoundly weird, by the way, as we're seeing. But still,
so weird.
You probably get Or maybe you get Hillary Clinton again, where I would give her a shot, you know, because she's actually decent in interviews. She's not likable, but she's at least coherent. She doesn't sound so, and I hate using this word with anybody, but stupid, right? I mean, Kamala Harris is not a smart person. That is an empty vessel that we're seeing here, clearly. So if they went through that process, then maybe they'd be in better shape. And then when she gets the nomination, her first big decision, what do I do? Who should be my running mate? And you got a couple of people out there that probably would have been pretty good as far as what she needed, especially Josh Shapiro, because you lose Pennsylvania, you lose this election, and he's at 65% approval there. And you go, no, I'm going to take the goofy sitcom dad from Minnesota who let his Minneapolis burn to the ground, puts tampons in boys' rooms, and the guy is just completely and totally like looks like a deer in the headlights, like the deer is about to be taken out by an 18-wheeler whenever he does interviews. So I just, again, yes, this is all self-inflicted. And by the way, oh, the conditions on the ground are horrible for any incumbent, right, as far as inflation, the border, crime, and foreign policy. So you add it all up, and yeah, this is on them. And Donald Trump has been very disciplined lately, mm-hmm. right? He's not taking the bait, not doing another debate, not going on CNN town halls. He's just like, all right, I'm in the lead right now, and I'll let her be the focus. If she's the focus, they lose.
So the question I was going to ask you there, and you sort of answered this already, do you assess this as a Kamala loss, a Trump win, or maybe both?
Boy. It is both, yeah, I think. I always wonder, like, what if DeSantis was the nominee, right? What if Glenn Youngkin was the nominee? What if J.D. Vance was the nominee? Would this race not be so tight? In other words, Trump motivates the other side more than anybody. So when I see that it's neck and neck nationally, you're like, how could that possibly be, given how bad of a candidate she is, how horrible things are on the ground, and that people want change? So, but maybe Trump isn't changed in some people's eyes because he's already been president. But I don't mind those years when he was president outside of COVID. Mm-hmm. If you're changing back to that, then you're fine. So, yeah, I think Trump's always Trump. I think his ceiling is always like 48-49%. And that's that. I mean, he's not the most disciplined candidate. He goes off on these weird tangents sometimes. He didn't do well in the debate. You know, he had opportunities and he really could have put her away, and he didn't. So he's not a perfect candidate. But then again, would Glenn Youngkin really like motivate, or DeSantis really motivate people the way Trump does to vote for him? So I can't figure the guy out. But if he wins here, it'd be unprecedented, right? I mean, you're president, and then you're out for 4 years, and you come back and win again. Or maybe it happened like with Grover Cleveland or someone. But in the modern era, I mean, let's put it this way. If you told me on January 7th, 2021, that Donald Trump would be the odds-on favorite to win the presidency, I would say you're effing crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's almost unbelievable. We're right next to the dump button. Joe Concha, we know you got to run, but I want to ask you one more question. I'd be remiss if I didn't. Bret Baier, Kamala Harris tomorrow. Your expectation of how that affects the campaign, and also any comments you have towards people who are questioning Bret Baier's ability to be fair in that interview with Kamala Harris.
I'm so glad you asked that, Annie, because I see it online.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, because I watched, again, Bret Baier interview Barack Obama when Obama was president. And that I would consider that probably the toughest interview Obama did in 8 years. Now, you go back and watch it, right? He did not let him go on many issues, had some follow-ups. He was accused, actually, of not being respectful enough to Mr. Obama during that interview. So if that's the precedent, then, well, anybody who's saying that Bret Baier is actually anti-Trump and is actually a Kamala supporter, like I see online. And if I got to hear one more time, by the way, that Bret Baier called Arizona early. The polls were closed, all right? A decision desk in our building then says, here's your winner. He's got to read it. What's he supposed to do? I know you guys have all the data in front of you while I've been anchoring, right? So, but he gets blamed for that somehow. And then, like, this whole thing, like, well, Trump would have won if Fox didn't call Arizona. How does that remotely make any sense? He still needed, like, two other states.
Yeah.
So I'm not ready with this. It's going to be a tough, fair interview. She's going for 30 minutes, no commercials, no edits. She hasn't done this before. It's going to be the end of her campaign by the time this thing is over. That I can guarantee you, if Charlamagne the God already doesn't take her out, because that's not going to be easy either, believe me.
Just before people react to this interview and talk about never Trumper Joe Concha, he did say earlier in the interview that he literally bought the stock. So I don't think that that's something that can be applied to you, Joe Concha. We love you. Thank you for being with us.
It's like, yay, Trump. I see an opportunity to make money here. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I think he's going to win. Therefore, the stock's worth more. That's all. It's a prediction.
Very Trumpian of you, Joe Concha.
Thank you. I bought Apple also, I have to admit. And that NVIDIA. Thank you, NVIDIA. Oh, AI, baby.
We appreciate
you. I'm just getting my whole portfolio at this point.
We're going to follow all your stock tips on you and Nancy Pelosi. Thank you, Joe.
I'm the Paul Pelosi of this interview. Take care.
We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much. Joe Concha, always love talking to him. Fox News contributor, and please consider a great read, Progressively Worse, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkeys. This is a great read for people who have been a moderate, maybe a little bit left, maybe are left socially, right fiscally. You don't really know where that puts you right now. You feel politically homeless. Progressively Worse is a great book, and Joe Concha, wonderful as always. We love having him on the show. Quick break when we come back. Let's get to Wiggins America, which is an hour later? And we've got Ethan in for Wiggins, who is taking the day off today with his family, which is great, and we'll have him back tomorrow. Wiggins America next. Don't go away.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Wiggins, you're so tall.
Well, you know, I woke up this morning and I looked in the mirror and things were a little bit different. I got bit on the hand by a spider last night.
No,
so I'm thinking
you did
maybe
not.
That's what had to do with it, maybe. So
one of those hairy spiders, because the flow is going today.
In Spider-Man, it's like you just get stronger, but I also got better looking. So I don't know. Maybe it's an alternate universe Spider-Man or
Ryan's
something.
Ryan's altering his travel plans right now.
Listen, what?
This is unbelievable. Okay, Wiggins America time. So, you know, I Ryan makes this look so easy, guys that are listening. It's not.
You know Ryan's philosophy of lowering standards, right?
Yeah.
What like he said he did this with his wife.
I forget what he told me last time, what his advice was. Fail big and fail hard or something like that. So my thought
was it's along the lines of just no fear.
Yeah, something like that. So my thought was, well, let's go in with something that perhaps this audience could bring some new information to this audience. And what I bring is a younger generation, I guess, or a perspective from
then
a younger
Ryan,
generation
yes.
than Ryan. Yes. And Annie, I thought this might be helpful to you.
Okay.
Because, you know, your oldest is 14. Is that right?
Yeah. 15 in December. Permit.
Man. That's horrifying. So I figured let's go ahead and test out your knowledge on some of the common teen slang.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm ready.
So my thought is I'm just going to take you through some of the more common ones. And that way, you know, when eventually your children are saying these things, you won't be like, what did you just say?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start off with a simple one.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? I'll ask you if you've heard it or if you know what it means.
Okay.
When someone says the word addy to you, do you understand what that means?
Address? I don't know.
So like someone might say, hey, drop the addy.
Yeah, I've not heard that. That would be my guess.
Drop the addy. And okay. It means that they want to know where they're going to, where they're hanging out. But also it's used for Snapchats as well. Like, hey, I need your addy as well. So here's one that you guys probably have heard this one before. I have a question about this one. Aesthetic. Mm. I don't understand the point behind the word aesthetic.
I think that kids just think it's a fancy word.
It means vibe, basically.
Which
like
is a
what?
Word.
It's the vibe, but like, what's the point behind it? Besides, like you said, it's just kind of a fancy word.
It's a fancy word.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we agree on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Cap. Have you heard of cap?
Yeah.
Okay. Caps.
That's a lie.
Caps.
Not untrue.
Yes. Exactly.
No caps. Cap means for real.
Yes. Okay. So this is good because this is one of the more popular ones.
I don't say it. But I do hear it.
Okay, so now I'm gonna bring in one that is a little bit newer to me.
Okay,
but maybe you've had some experience with this. Are you familiar with girl math?
Yes, only because I don't use any of these phrases, but it's essentially like justification for spending money. Usually.
Okay, so you know, eventually with the daughters, you're gonna make sure that they're not following girl math. I have a video here that I want to play on the stream for you guys. You ready here?
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Now let's get into girl math. Let's start with what makes something free. If I pay for it with cash, it's free.
No.
If I pay for it with a gift card, even if I loaded money onto the gift card myself, it's free.
Nuh-uh.
The money's already there.
No.
I didn't have to pull from my bank account.
That's dumb.
Now, here's where it gets a little complicated.
Whoa.
If I return an item, the next item that I buy with that money...
Not free.
Also free.
No, it's not.
But if I returned an item and I didn't buy something, I made money.
You're an idiot.
I made profit. A good example of this would be a security deposit. Send in this security deposit for like an apartment. And then when you get it back, when you move out... You just made money.
No,
if I was
like
gonna go out tonight and then I change my mind last minute, I also just made money.
But if
I was gonna go out tonight and I didn't go out tonight, but then I Uber Eats dinner, that was free as well.
No, it's not.
Because I would have spent the money.
No, because you're
an
idiot.
I didn't spend the money, but then I did spend the money. Now it's free.
Uh-uh.
I hope this clarifies some things for you guys.
So it's very important, Annie, that eventually you pass on to your girls that girl math is not real math.
Let me just insert here a little blurb for Lutheran education. If men called that girl math, it would be sexist.
Yep. This is true.
That's all I have to say.
What time are we out here?
58.
58. Yeah. Oh, lovely. Okay. So that one was the one, I think that one's probably the biggest one as far as just, it's a little bit scary that people actually in my generation think like that.
I mean, just call it what it is. You're just justifying bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of drip?
Yes.
I got sparkly drip today.
You do have some sparkly drip. Yeah. Okay, that's a good one because that's also another
clothing,
popular one.
Appearance.
A really cool outfit. If you got some nice shoes on, mm-hmm. you're just looking nice and sharp.
Nice
that's
drip.
Called drip to the younger ones. This is one I hadn't heard of. Delulu. You ever heard of Delulu?
Is it delusional?
Yeah, you're pretty good at this. You're just kind of you're just kind of
don't tell the kids that I know what they're saying. It's a secret.
It's used to call out someone in a humorous way for choosing to reject reality in favor of a more interesting, appealing interpretation of events. The example is, did you hear what that guy at Chipotle said to me? I said, it was love at first sight. He just said, have a nice day. I think he says to every customer, you're completely Delulu.
Yeah. How cute.
Okay, I'll finish with two more here. Gucci.
That's, like, cool. But I thought that was kind of old.
Some of these have been around for a little bit, yeah. but they're still being used. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand why. We go from a clothing brand to trying to make it sound like
everything's
good.
For a bunch of
people
who can't afford anything that's actually Gucci.
Okay, last one. Let them cook.
Oh, I was wondering if this was... I was going to say, we're going to let Ethan cook here.
That's kind of what...
It's like basically saying, let them do their thing.
The equivalent would be that Trump cooked on his music playlist last night at the town hall.
Which we're going to talk about next! You are cooking!
Cooking.
Ethan!
He's got that W Riz over
tomorrow,
there.
Tomorrow, when Wiggins America happens and Ryan comes in here, I'm going to call for the righty from the bullpen and you're going to come in and take over. And I'm just going to say, Ryan.
Get out, old man. Your time is up.
Ryan, step aside. Let Ethan cook. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.